Blog Talk Radio.
Well, you know, we had a discussion about rainfall in Georgia, and that particular discussion, the story has blossomed a little bit more than you and I talked about. Yeah.
Oh boy.
So, how you doing? You know what? I don't even know if you're ready for the shenanigans. I'm ready for the shenanigans. So, first of all, I want to send out my prayers to the people of Georgia and the flooding that they had.
Wait a minute.
My mother.
You're talking about the United States?
Well, just the people of Georgia, and I just wanted to say how, you know, my mother caught the story on CNN, and she called my uncle, who's from Georgia, and she was like, you know, asking if everything was okay, and if there were people he had to check on, and if there was all this, get off, turn off, Jaws.
I'm just saying.
That's I can't compete with dogs.
You have when animals attack. Go ahead.
And that, you know, she was saying that she had saw on CNN how there was flooding into BC, Georgia, and he was like, oh, I know right where that is. And my mother had said that the woman on the news had sounded a little bit foreign, and my uncle said, well, that's because everybody in that neighborhood is Polish.
Oh, my God.
Turns out it wasn't the state of Georgia.
Yes, it was the state of Georgia.
The state of Georgia in Russia. It was the state capital. I mean, lowercase s. Capital S in Russia. And how do I know this? Because when my mom was telling me, I was like, well, why isn't this on the news if the flooding is so bad that there are hippos running rampant in the streets and lions and tigers and bears on my, why are we watching the NBA playoffs? How come? And so I Googled it, and there was this picture of a hippo. And I clicked on it, and I looked. I said, well, all these men look European. Now, maybe not everybody can tell what men from this part of the world look like, but because we have a very high what an Eastern European man looks like. And I started reading. I was like, Mom, this is not. I said, where is this? She said, well, your uncle said it's outside of Atlanta. Mommy, this is Russia. It's not outside of Atlanta. No, not at all. So, welcome to old folks' hood. Yeah, can you believe he said that's because they're Polish in that neighborhood?
I'm just not. I'm just not going to do this with you because I love that woman.
That's because, well, you know, he sounded kind of foreign. That's because they're all Polish in that neighborhood right outside of Atlanta, Russia. Okay. So, now my weekend. I'd also like to point out
don't
that.
Understand. People don't understand because they don't know your mother like I do, that she has a little bit of problem translating what the TV box machine says into real life.
Yes, because it scrolls so fast. So, I also wanted to let America know that I have spoken to the 52 black people in Spokane. And they are not happy with
I don't
want to
go there yet. I don't want to go there yet. I don't want to go there yet. Because
I just
we're
going to
pay.
Apologize.
We are going to pay undue amount of attention to that situation. But we have to get on the new news of the day first.
What, Trump?
And that is Donald Trump and Jeb Bush have declared they're running for the office of president of the United States of this year, America.
You know what? It's rare that I get, like, really, really angry about what they say. You know, I'll say I'm angry, but, you know, I'm just more annoyed than anything. I was angry this morning when he was talking, he being Donald Trump. First of all, hello, he lied. Everything that man says, everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie, an absolute freaking lie. It doesn't even pass the smell test. I don't even have to know for a fact that it's a lie, but I know it's a lie because it just it doesn't sound like it's impossible. Second of all, his comments about Mexicans and Latinos, Now, I'm not going to make the assumption that, you know, everybody working in his hotels, you know, the majority of the service workers in his hotels are Haitian and European and Hispanic. I won't make that assumption. That said, the statistics buy out that probably most of the people on his service staff at his various hotels are most likely Hispanic. And he wants to talk about their culture like that? They need to walk out. Remember that movie A Day Without Mexicans? They need to show him. He needs to learn today. You can't, you know, and it just, it pissed me off because, I mean, it's a deep-seated issue that I have in general with the scapegoating of illegal immigrants being people who are brown skin or people of color, be they Haitian, Latin, and nobody says anything about these Europeans that I live around with 10, 12 kids, and I'm not even exaggerating when I say 10, 12 kids. My daughter right now has a little boy in her class who is the only boy in his family of 11 kids. $10. And not all of them come over here the correct way. And, you know, they want to talk about Muslims. Well, you know what? I seem to have read a thing or two about these Russian mobs and Russian gangs tearing up New York. But they get to do it because they're white immigrants? I am so sick of the scapegoating. I am so sick of the racist stuff that comes out of his mouth. I'm not even talking about the crap he says about Obama. That man, Donald Trump, is a flat-out racist. And people don't even see it because he's polished and a businessman and educated. But if you listen to the shit that comes out of his mouth, please. Sorry.
No, no, you're absolutely right. And I wanted you to rant on it because I knew you would rant on it rightly. And here's the issue for me. Donald Trump is scarily going to move the needle. And he's not going to move the needle up until election night. He's going to move the needle during the primary. Because Donald Trump speaks to a certain segment of this society that believes that because he's on television and because he has money, he knows what he's talking about. And this is the problem. The problem, because every time there's a mouth roars does not mean that what's coming out of that mouth makes any sense. So be clear. Or is right. So let's be clear. Donald Trump is an idiot. He's a very rich idiot, but he said on this program before, he's an idiot. He's been an idiot all his life. Make him, he's not a self-made man. His father was a real estate mogul and left him money. And Donald Trump took the money that his father left him and turned into more money. But it took him a while to find his stride. Now, I've got absolutely zero respect for him from his TV shows, his casinos, anything that has Trump's name on it. It's all self-aggrandizing. And it's all self-promotion. He makes everything about him, he says it's the best, people believe it's the best, but they only say it, they only believe it because he says it. You have to understand that this man does not want to be president to make the country better. He wants to be president to stroke his own ego. There has never been in the history of this nation a businessman become president. Business and government are different. They don't work the same. They can't function the same. And Donald Trump cannot, for the just by will of his mouth, make a president of himself. The comment he made today.
But you know what, Yale, let me interrupt you for a second.
Sure.
He doesn't want to be president. This is the same bullshit he pulled last time. Number, at the end of the day, he's not going to want to give up his television show. He's not going to want to disclose all his assets. And it pisses me off that he makes a mockery of our process. If he's still in the quote-unquote race after before the primaries, I will be surprised. Because he knows he can't hang. Can you imagine him in one of the debates? He can't hang. He's going to drop out before he's on this debate stage and have to really answer for himself. Just a waste of freaking time.
It is a waste of time. And here's the thing. He will probably be more prepared than Rick Perry was. Probably more ready than, of course, Michelle Bachman was, and I know that's setting the bar very low, but he'll because he has the people in place to say and learn the things he needs to say. However, when rubber hits the road, the reality is if you're thinking, like he said today at his press conference, if you're thinking, you can look in today's military and find, as he put it, the next George Patton, the next Douglas MacArthur, and go deal with Al Qaeda and ISIS. You're already behind the eight ball because our military is not built to fight the crises that we have today. And a lot of it is diplomacy, which he's got zero of. A lot of it is military strategy, which he knows zero about. And a lot of it is letting the people who are already in place do what's necessary to make things better. This is where George W. Bush had trouble with going to Iraq and to begin with. But by building that military to fight a conventional war when he was not going to be able to sustain a nation that he tried to build up was a mistake. It was just kind of a mistake that got us in trouble in Vietnam, that got us in trouble in Iraq, and Donald Trump will get us in trouble in. And it bothers me to no end. Oh, my God, it bothers me to no end that he's been getting this much of our airtime, let alone legitimate media, news media airtime, when you have people like Jeb Bush, who, as I put in the write-up, whose father created the deficit that it took Clinton 8 years to fix, and then his son came in and not only screwed it up again, but quadrupled it from what his daddy had done, started two wars, one that was totally unnecessary, and one that should have been fought differently. And but he is a legitimate, viable Republican candidate. And we still, this brings the total to 12 Republicans now with these two, and we have still yet to hear from officially Governor Krispy Kreme, New Jersey, and Bobby Jindal from Louisiana by way of India. It just keeps getting more and more comical. And one of these idiots is going to bubble up to the top, and whoever the Democratic presidential nominee will be, whether it be Hillary, whether it be, I almost choked when I said this, Martin O'Malley, or whether it be Bernie Sanders, one of them is going to have an easy walk into the White House, because should have an easy walk into the White House, because nothing these people say makes any sense about today's world. Even Lindsey Graham. First of all, you can't have a queen in the White House, and Lindsey Graham is Blanche DuBois. So you can't have him in the White House.
No. But, and you know what? And at the end of the day, Trump is not going to give up his influence. The things that he would want, he wants to be president, not to be president. He wants to be president for the power and how it could increase his business interests. He's going to break the law waking up every morning.
Uh-huh.
Setting stuff, you know, and honestly, I'm surprised that he isn't a senator, because he would have a better chance of getting away with having his pockets greased as a senator than he would as a president. But no, he's not going to give up his business interests. He's not Michael Bloomberg. He's not going to give up his business interests to run the country for 4 years. And if he is running the country for 4 years, it's for his own gain. And that other comment he made about how porous the borders are because, you know, he talks to border agents. Get the fuck out of here with that bullshit. You are not down in California, Texas, or Arizona talking to any border guard.
Or New Mexico. Right. Exactly.
Right. You might have got a tweet from some pissed off ex-border person, but you haven't talked
or some
to
minute
border
man.
Agents.
Or some Minuteman patrolling the border.
Right, and that's another thing that he does that really pisses me off. He will talk to one person and then have that person be representative of that whole entire class or community. He will talk to one black person who says something disparaging about President Obama and, well, you know, I've talked to black people, you know, me and the black people get along and they are sick of Obama. That was one little Negro with nappy hair who had three missing teeth. Get out of here with that bullshit.
You know,
he gets on my nerve.
You know, here's the thing. For him to even say he will build a wall and the wall will be fence, and the fence or wall will be so fantastic, it'll be huge, it'll be great, and he will make Mexico pay for it. What the fuck? Are you Seriously? Seriously.
Right. And they don't send over their best. They just send over the murderers and the rapists. Are you kidding me right now? That's what I'm saying. If I was Mexican or just Latina in general and was working for one of his establishments, I would be boycotting the hell out of it today. You don't send your best. What are you even talking about? And he just played into the fears that these crazy people have that every person
that's
who comes over the border is a criminal. And that is not to say that there aren't criminals from Mexico here. I grew up in San Diego. I know that there are. But that is not the whole kit and caboodle of what comes over that border. And I can guarantee you that some of the Eastern European people that are here aren't all innocent and happiness and light. How many times have we found war criminals in here? Living up the street is Joseph Duncan, and you find out that Joseph Duncan was really the chinko oligarch.
Right.
Who raped and killed 17 women in a Ukrainian village in one day. Man, Trump better go somewhere and leave me alone. He got my blood pressure up and my sugar down.
Is that he will make a difference in the race. I mean, surely he'll help some of the weaker people fall to the side. But when he gets up against serious politicians, and it's hard to call some of these fools serious politicians, but Lindsey Graham is a serious politician who has foreign policy experience, even though he doesn't listen to what is being said and creates his own narrative. Rick Perry is a serious politician when it comes to Texas politics, but he doesn't translate to a national scale, even though, again, he is a serious politician in Texas. By Texas standards, which means, you know, like Mickey Mouse is a serious character in Disneyland, but outside of Disneyland, he really can't hold a candle to Batman, but that's a whole other story. But,
you know what? I mean, it upsets me that his entrance in the race legitimizes everybody else because he's so crazy that everybody else looks normal, even the ones that aren't really that damn normal. I mean, when Lindsey Graham is sounding sane, there's a problem.
Exactly.
It's just shenanigans. And go ahead.
And again, we've got Ted Cruz. We've got Carly Fiorina. We've got Lindsey Graham and others that we mentioned already who are running. And Jeb Bush. And when you look at that and say Donald Trump's entering the race, you're right. He's going to make some other people who shouldn't even be relevant, semi-relevant. But the worst thing about it is he's going to be on that platform and everyone else is going to tear him apart. And by tearing him apart, they're going to elevate their own selves. And the election will not be about real issues. The election will not be about the next president. Will that person, he or she, finally have some support from Congress to really get some things done? Not like Obama has not gotten things done. He's just had to do it all on his own. But if we take this to an illogical conclusion that Donald Trump does get the nomination and Donald Trump does win, and Congress is full of people who may or may not have a brain cell in their head, but will fight him on everything crazy he wants to do. If he wants to criticize now Obama for using executive orders to get certain things done, Donald Trump would have to do executive orders down the line to get any of the crazy shit done that he wants to do. Any of it. Any of it. And give me his bona fides. Let me know what Donald Trump is more qualified for than Obama was. Let me see Donald Trump's college transcripts. Let me see Donald Trump's man is more intelligent, more qualified, more sincere.
And how many times did he file bankruptcy as a personally or business wise?
Yeah,
that's what I want to know.
And how many times has he been married? I mean, come on, let's be real. Let's be real. You say what you're
saying. How many affairs has he had?
How many affairs has he had? The only person in my memory that I can remember that became president that was not married to the woman he married the first time and stayed married to was Ronald Reagan. I haven't seen a president before then have a second wife that because the first wife didn't die, or since then that had a second wife. McCain tried it, didn't work. Newt Gingrich tried it, didn't work. Didn't work. So Donald Trump, it ain't going to work. America's family values people. They may have changed for Sarah Palin, but there are certain things they're not going to stand for. And, brother, everything about you is what they want.
He has no moral compass at all. None. He's proven himself to be a racist. He's proven himself to be a philanderer. Philanderer. And had an outside child while he was married.
Hello.
And he's going to get in there, and he's going to do stuff that benefits him as a businessman.
Or try to. But again, government ain't business, baby. It's a whole different game. And you can try to recreate the Dick Cheney presidency, but that ain't going to fly either. So now that we got that craziness out of the way, let's seriously dedicate this next talk to the ultimate what in the hell is going on in this country. Question of the day. Biracial, biracial.
I can't even.
Rachel.
I don't know if you saw my Facebook post today, but I went to school on Miss Rachel and her blackness. Because, you know, I was joking around and kidding and, you know, making a joke about it and laughing and whatnot, and I made a little meme for it and everything. And I was okay laughing and joking about it until she had her interview with Melissa Harris Perry, or Perry Harris. You know who.
Mm-hmm.
And what set me off is Melissa asked her, is she black? And she said, yes. And okay, well, explain it. Well, because I'm the mother of two black sons. Mm-mm. No, baby. That makes you a mother. That does not make you a black mother. And it makes you a person with a viable womb. That's what it makes you. If you claim to be black and you cannot articulate what it is to be black, newsflash, you're not black. Now, I understand that there are some things about being black that you can't put into words. That's why we used to say it's a black thing you wouldn't understand.
Hello, sure.
But there are things that you can articulate. and she couldn't even do that. You know, I talked about how things that I can't articulate about being black, I can't articulate how I feel when I'm walking down the street and I get the tribal nod and good morning. I can say it makes me feel good. And I know that that is a black thing. But how do you put that in words? But you, as a black person, you know what I mean about what that feels like. Or when I'm in a room with all my older black relatives. You can't articulate that. But you know how it feels when you're sitting there in a room full of black people and the old folks is saying what they say and doing what they do and playing dominoes and spades and just the whole experience. You know how when something really, really bad happens and we get that prayer circle going, please don't be black, please don't be black, please don't be black. She doesn't know what that feels like. Or when you and I see some black teenagers acting stupid.
Hello.
And we feel, we don't just feel anger, but we feel shame. Does she know why you feel shame? Because we got some black kids out here acting crazy in front of white folks, and Lord, now they already think we don't have no promises and no home training, and here you go. Or the pride that we feel when we see a black child that's not necessarily our own as a valedictorian or getting a full ride scholarship to Yale. Or what it feels like to have to teach your sons and your nephews how to interact with the police. That fear that the only crime your child has committed is being born with this skin color. Now, she can feel that as a mother, but she doesn't feel it with the history that we feel it. And until she can articulate what it feels like to be a black person, she's not black. I know you feel the same pride that I feel when there's a young black boy in his Sunday clothes opening up a door for you and saying, yes, ma'am, yes, sir.
Well, yeah, yes, sir. If he calls me young ma'am, then I'm going to have to, you know, go ahead.
Well, that's why I said, yes, ma'am, or yes. That's why I said, yes, ma'am, or yes, sir.
I'm not Bruce Jenner. There should be no confusion.
But there's more to being black than listening to music and knowing how to dance, knowing how to play basketball. And granted, not all of us can do either of those. But I'm getting into the realm of stuff that you can't articulate. How the emotions it brings, you know. And I know I'm not alone. I know I'm not the only person who feels this way. And when I say I love being black, I love being black. And part of loving being black is that tribal nod I get from complete strangers. How you doing, sister? Good morning, sister. And then they keep walking. Or if they just nod. And you know that nod, that what's up? How you doing? You okay? I got you. Something goes down, I got you. Don't even know this person. And since she cannot articulate any of that, no, you're not black, Rachel. Not by any stretch of even my biracial child understands that. Even she knows. My daughter will tell you right now, when I was telling you about that song, You Belong to Me, my daughter said, I am an independent black woman. I don't belong to anybody. I hollered.
Right, but your daughter also said, nobody puts baby in the corner. Your daughter also said, nobody puts baby in the corner. So
nobody puts baby in the corner. Nobody puts baby in the corner. But you know what I mean? you know, and I appreciate, you know, wearing braids. You know, no. Remember the uproar with Bo Derek in 10 when she had cornrows? And you looked up at every white woman in America had cornrows? And it goes to the bigger issue that I have with co-opting our culture. You know, you may think it's cool to do this, that, and the other, but do you understand the meaning behind why this, that, and the other exists? Yeah, cornrows are cool and everything, but do you understand why they're cornrows? Not because it's just some fad. But cornrows used to be a sign of communication and tribal identity. You rolled your hair a certain way, you were part of this particular tribe. You roll your hair this way, you're single. You're looking for a husband. You come from a family of wealth. There's all kinds of meaning behind it. And it's nothing that she knows. And I'm not upset at her coming from the position of a black woman. I know there's a lot of black women who are upset with her for pretending to be a black woman. I'm just coming from it as a black person. And she just doesn't get it. And she doesn't get what she did was wrong. And I said this yesterday and last week, and I say it today. I'm glad that you have empathy and sympathy for my culture, and I am glad that you are fighting the good fight with us. There's nothing on this earth that says that white people can't be down for the cause. All you have to do is look at the civil rights movement. You can look at the founding of NAACP. There were white folks out there. Look at slavery, the Quakers. The Quakers and the Shakers. We have a history of white people helping out in the cause, and that is appreciated. But you need to do it as
look
your
at Brad
authentic
Pitt.
Self. You,
look what he did.
You don't
he,
have to.
Look at Brad Pitt. Look what Brad Pitt did for 12 Years a Slave.
Right. Or hell, the stuff that he does in New Orleans, you know, doesn't get talked about much, but he's done more for Katrina victims than a whole lot of people.
Right, but I'm also saying, you know, he helped get freedom.
Oh, you're being funny.
Know, I'm trying.
Shut up. But I mean, you know what? But you can still be a superhero for justice without changing who you are. She could have done everything that she was doing as her white self. And on top of that, how you going to sue Howard? See, we were talking, you and I were talking about it, that, you know, she went to Howard. So I was like, she's committed because she's been doing this for a minute. And then she turned around and sued them for discrimination. And I had, you know, when I found out about Howard, it was tickling the back of my head. I was like, you know what? I bet she did this for affirmative action. Ha ha. And we laughed about it, remember? But you know what? I may not have been far off the trail. I might have been right on the money.
Okay, so now it's my turn.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my multifaceted take on the whole Rachel Dolezal issue. And you know how I feel a little bit because, as you said, we've discussed it. But America, it's time for you to see what has me upset. And I'm going to brush past a lot of the stuff. You know, I don't care if she wants to identify as black. I really don't. I don't care if she wants to pretend to be black. I really don't. My issue is, and before I even get into it, let me ask this question. Why is it okay? Why is it a problem? Let me say this way. Let me reverse it this way. Why is it a problem for Rachel Dolezal to say she's black and it's not an issue for Tiger Woods to say he isn't? See, that's the racial component that bothers me. People are okay with claiming Tiger even though Tiger doesn't claim them. but they're upset with Rachel for claiming, and I keep calling woman Rachel. I should call her Rachel, but I keep calling her Rachel, thanks to your friend on your Facebook post. But why is it okay for Rachel to want to be black when she's not? We need more people in the family. But my big issue with her is very simple. There is clearly a mental defect somewhere in her life because this woman continually lies about things. And
everything.
The whole I identify as black is just the big iceberg. What's below the surface is lied about who her father was. She lied about visiting her family in Africa. She lied about what happened in Africa on her visit that really never happened. She lied about some of the issues that are happening to her, things that have happened to her as being a black woman. There are police reports that she's filed based on discrimination and racial profiling and racial injustice that supposedly happened to her that can't be substantiated, that can't be investigated, that were investigated and nothing came out of it. I mean, I don't live in Spokane, Washington. You live in the state where Spokane is. You gave me some very good in-depth insider knowledge about Spokane. But I've lived in Columbia, Maryland, when Columbia, Maryland was not the racial harmonic utopia that it was supposed to be and really still isn't to this day, if we want to pretend it is. And, excuse me, I went to a predominantly white high school, predominantly white middle school, all but white elementary school. I was one of five or six black kids in my elementary school when I went there in fourth grade. My mother, my family has integrated some areas. We have never, ever, ever had a noose tied on our lawn. Now, that's not to say it doesn't happen. I'm sure it does. But we've never had it happen. I don't know anyone that was born after me that it's happened to. And I certainly don't know of anyone that had three nooses put on their lawn. And
so,
the police
investigated
because it can't be substantiated.
Let me jump in and tell you a little bit about the Spokane area. So this is one of the reasons that what she did was so dangerous. Spokane is in eastern Washington. It is 10 miles from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. If you look at how Idaho is shaped, it's got that really thin part up top. You know what I mean? It looks kind of like a half spatula with a handle. So the handle is really, really small. So you can get 10 miles, you're in Spokane. You're in Coeur d'Alene. Another 70, 80, 90, I don't know, you're in Montana. But anyway, in Coeur d'Alene, and I know this for a fact because I went there for this express purpose, there are beds of neo-Nazis. And we've had anti-Klan rallies that my husband and I have gone to there. And generally, the actual neo-Nazis number about 20. And the anti-neo-Nazi people number about 10,000. So it is not out of the realm of possibility. And Spokane has had some racial issues. It is not out of the realm of possibility that something discriminatory or a hate crime has gone down in Spokane. And it's usually not the people of Spokane. It's these little assholes that live in Idaho. So what she has done is possibly delegitimize the actual crimes that do happen to the black people of Spokane, all 52 of them. I'm joking. There's more than that, but not much more. So, it's like she cried wolf. So at what point all these police reports she was filing, at what point do they get something legitimate across the desk and they're just like, you know what? This is some bullshit. You know, she has set back the stride, she potentially has set back the stride that the black people of Spokane who have legitimate issues have set forth. She has possibly illegitimized the NAACP in that area, because how do you know that what she reported in the name of the NAACP, not in her name, actually happened? And there are people who don't believe in the NAACP, similar to people who don't believe in unions. Oh, they're just doing this. Oh, you know, what do they need to exist for? Oh, they're playing the race card. Oh, this is a post-racial society. We don't need the NAACP anymore. And then here this heifer is.
And that's my point. She's going to lie continually about her history and her background. And I overheard her say something today on a clip from her interview on NBC, where she said that there's no medical personnel around today there at her birth to verify that those were really her parents and that the birth certificate wasn't put together after her birth.
So she's still lying.
This bitch is crazy.
So she's still
lying. And again,
lying.
Just like you said, just like I've said to you, and I've said on my Facebook page, and I've said to other people, you can be a white person that's down for helping black people. You can be a white person, an Asian person, a brown person, a person of European descent, and be all about helping black people, helping minorities as a whole by joining and becoming an officer in the NAACP. There's no problem with that. You can even say, you know what, I want to be black and I want to be down and I want to be married to Kalinga from I'm Gonna Get You Sucker and be down for the cause. You can say that. You can say that and you can do that. But when you're called on it, just say, look,
just
I despise being black. I'm not really black, but that doesn't diminish what I'm here to do and what I'm trying to do. But by continuing to lie, you continue to lie about the other things that we just discussed, you, as you said, you delegitimize what you're supposedly doing. You delegitimize the NAACP in Washington, in Spokane. You delegitimize everyone that supported you when you made these allegations. And I don't know what positive things she has done up there. I'm sure there are several, or else she wouldn't still have been in office. But whatever she did, it was accentuated by her self-promotion of it. The whole gotcha interview was based upon some event that was happening and her father couldn't attend. Who cares if your father can't attend? Don't draw attention to yourself. And this to me rolls back to the whole thing I feel about Caitlyn Jenner. So you want to have a sex change? Have a sex change. And just go to like, go have a Vanity Fair photo shoot, cover story, and you know, just continue the whole "it's all about me" mass media me thing.
Yeah, but you know, if Caitlyn didn't used to be Bruce and was just Sam Jones, you know, nobody would give a damn.
We wouldn't care. Exactly. But
no, but I mean, it's not all his fault. It's not all her fault. It's not all Caitlyn's fault, because you know the paparazzi were dogging her when she was Bruce, and he was not courting any type of media coverage. But they were chasing him down. Oh, look, his nails are painted red. So the media had something to do with that.
To a degree, but, you know, he could have continued to hide out. But the moment he could have come out in an article. He didn't have to do, no one forced him to do a Vanity Fair cover story. And that's my point with Bruce. You did a Vanity Fair cover story, you're drawing. You want this to be about
you.
Now.
Do you even read Vanity Fair? No.
No, I don't. I read covers.
Covers.
Like, you
could ignore
work.
It if you wanted
and,
to. But you know, my step.
And if you
weren't,
Bruce Jenner, like you said, he wouldn't have been on the cover. And
my
stepmother
is white. She is the mother of my two youngest brothers, and my dad was black. Her second husband is black, and she was on the cover of Washington Post because she marched on Selma a couple months ago. My stepmother has always been down for the cause. Period, point blank. She will never in her life say that she's black. She is a white woman, and she recognizes the privilege that comes with that, that she has dedicated her life to bettering the cause of black people. Never had to lie about it. Now, she's never been an NAACP president, but you know what? She writes a check every year to her local office. She lives in Berkeley. I don't know where her local office is, but she writes a check every year. She wrote checks for Willie Brown when he was running for mayor of San Francisco. She wrote big checks for Obama. She's down. But she will never, ever say that she's black. And I will never, ever take away all the stuff that she has done to better the cause of black people. She was a lawyer. She used to go into the prisons and pro bono. And help prisoners that were railroaded. Rachel could have done any of that kind of stuff.
Right.
And
right.
I'm not even mad
question.
At Rachel for.
Is there any truth to the matter that while at Howard she majored in window tinting? I just want to know that. Is that.
How she did what?
When she was at Howard, she majored in window tinting.
See, you're stupid. But, you know, at San Diego State, I had an Africana Studies professor who was white. I think his name was like Professor Cornwell or something like that with a K. And there was some controversy until you got his syllabus and you sat in his lectures and he schooled the hell out of you. So I'm not even mad for her teaching Africana Studies. It can be done. There's nothing in Africana Studies that says that you have to be part of the black experience to teach Africana Studies. Now, if you're teaching a class, Blackness 101, then yeah, you might be. But when you're teaching African American history, no. She just kept lying and lying and lying, and she didn't need to.
Let's see. That lie just compounds the other lies that she won't come clean on. And that's where I have a problem. If you are a chronic liar about things like that, then you can't be trusted to be in the official role. You could be green and say you're black. I'm okay with it. Just as long as the other stuff you do is legitimate. You know, I don't have a problem with her saying she's black. I have more of a problem with Tiger Woods saying he isn't. But what I don't understand is why she continues. She's going with the bit. She will not stop going with the bit. She's been exposed. She should stop going with the bit. Maybe she's got that same problem that Sacha Baron Cohen has, that he can't come out of character. You can't come out of character until way after the movie's
but intellectually,
over.
Intellectually, I think you understand what the problem with Tiger Woods was. Intellectually, I think you know. Because, I mean, you know, there's such a negative image and stereotype of black people that we can't do this, we can't do that. And we have one, albeit half of one, who at one point was considered the greatest golfer of all time. And we can't even have him. So it just perpetuated the stereotype that black people can't accomplish anything. that's what was going on with Tiger Woods trying to get out. You can come in, but you can't get out.
Yeah, well, you know, but see, Tiger is a disappointment to me because Tiger had the opportunity to do what the Williams sisters did. Oh, you don't think a black man can win in Augusta? I'm going to show you a white man can win in Augusta. I'm not going
to
put it in your face. I'm not going to march in protest. I'm not going to stand on the wall and say, I am me, this is what I am. You can do it quietly. But the moment you say, no, I'm not black, I'm cable a nation, you create your own race, then you're denying your heritage. And I have more of a problem with that than someone who is black, who is white, trying to say they are black and then working to further the cause and our people.
Oh, well, yeah, of course. I mean, but you and I said, you know, we have a history of passing to get out, not passing to get in. So that whole thing is unique. And I have to tell you, if one more person posts a picture of a bunch of black women with blonde hair, like myself, trying to make the statement, oh, you don't get upset when black women wear blonde hair, but blah, blah, blah. I don't give a damn that my hair is blonde. I'm still black. I can't change that. I can change my hair all day long, but I'm still black. And I'm not dyeing my hair blonde as a statement of fact that I'm not black or that I wish to be European. I want my hair different. Damn it, it's my hair. If I want to dye it dookie brown, I'm going to dye it dookie brown. Sorry, a little side rant. And it's a side rant because it's one of the things about our community that drives me nuts, and that is authenticating our blackness amongst ourselves. I am black. I don't care what shade I am. I don't care how I speak. I don't care what education I've chosen. I am black. And you cannot take away that authenticity from me just because of the way I speak or just because I have decided that I don't want to wear my hair natural. I don't have chemicals in my hair aside from the bleach that blonded it. You will pry my pressing comb from my cold, dead hands. But I still go to sleep and wake up a black woman. And I tell you what, the police and society, they'll look at me and say, she's got blonde hair. Maybe she's really white. Or maybe she wants to be white, so we're just going to leave her alone. They're going to fuck me up just as much as they fuck up somebody with braids. Or an afro. In the eyes of the law, I am not above anybody. I'm not above Chiquita.
Well, in the eyes of the law, swinging that sock full of hot nickels is illegal.
Lethal. Well,
so
I'm sure Rachel will keep up the shenanigans, and we'll be talking about her next week.
Six. And she's going to be on TMZ, and she's going to be in the news for another 3 or 4 days, maybe another 5 days. And then she's going to be knocked out the box by your boy, George Zimmerman. He's going to come back and do some more bullshit. And he's going to take back his limelight.
You know what?
America, that's our take.
I've been trying to kick him out.
That's our take on the racial issue today. I don't know what else to say, but come on, we'll do this again next week.
Oh my God.